Well, good morning. Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist Church. We're so excited to see all of your smiling faces here this morning. If you are visiting with us, we just ask that you look in the pew in front of you and there's a little visitor's card. If you'll fill that out and tell us a little bit about you and then drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, we would greatly appreciate it. I have several announcements for you all this morning. The first one that I'll mention, you will notice we have several flowers that are all around the church this morning. The ones right down here on the communion table are given in honor of Regina for her birthday, which is today. And then there are several other arrangements that are around in the fellowship hall and the atrium and different places. And that is in memory of Kelsey Van, given by her family. We had the service here yesterday, and we just ask that you continue to keep them in your prayers. We will be offering a meaningful membership class for those that would like to know more about joining our church. The adult class will be led by Pastor Gary, and I will be leading the children and youth, and there is a sign-up sheet in the atrium if you would like to participate in that class. Today, this afternoon, we have our back-to-school bash. I'm sure you've seen the sign out front. We just want to make sure that it's clear that you know that your children will most likely be getting wet. There is a slip and slide that is going to be here. And so if you want to wear a bathing suit, clothes that can get wet, that kind of thing, and please bring a towel with you. We will be here at 3 o'clock if you would like to come at 3, and then we will have hot dogs for supper at 5. So just keep that in mind as you're preparing for this afternoon's activities. Let's see. Also, Flat Springs will be providing a breakfast for a staff of 80 over at Deep River School on Thursday morning. Foods such as breakfast, casseroles, potatoes, biscuits, juice, sodas, fruits, plates, bowls, napkins, and disposable forks are needed. Please bring your donations to the Fellowship Hall kitchen by 7:30 a.m. Thursday. Youth and adults are needed to help load, carry, and set up over at the school's media center. We will aim to leave the back of the church at 7:40 and drive over to Deep River as a caravan. We will not be eating with the teachers, just setting up and giving a blessing. Whatever you donate or cook, please make sure it is packaged in something disposable. There is a sign-up sheet in the atrium. If last year is anything to go by, breakfast casseroles and biscuits are the favorites. If you have any questions, please see Stephanie. Now we just ask that you turn your hearts and minds towards worship. Pray with me. Almighty God, what a joy it is to be in your house this morning, to be surrounded by your people and to be reminded of our many blessings. God, may our attitudes reflect that knowledge today. May we choose to worship you with gladness and praise for all the many things you have done. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Let's turn to number 248. God our Father, we adore thee. Different words to a familiar tune. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for getting us all here today, and please be with the ones that couldn't make it. And use your guidance in us to glorify your name as always. Please accept these offerings as we accept your blessings. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning. How are you guys? Can I ask y'all a question? You know I always do. Okay. What makes you happy? What makes you happy?
Baseball.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Baseball, that's one. That's a good one. What else? Yes, ma'am. Being grateful. That's a good one. I like that one. Anything else? What else makes you happy? Anything you can think of? What about brothers and sisters? Do they make you happy? Yeah? Mom and dad? Sometimes, maybe? Yeah. Well, the world tells us that certain things should make us happy, right? Maybe having lots of money or plenty to eat or having someone to take care of us or being well-liked, having lots of friends. But in today's story that Pastor Gary's going to talk to us about, Jesus is telling the disciples, he's sitting down with them on the side of a mountain, and he's telling them what it means to be happy. So, do you remember, this is taking it way back, okay? Back in Bible school, if you were here, we had these little signs. And these were for the Beatitudes. And that's what Jesus is talking about this morning in his story. And it said, this first one says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then you flip it over and it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then this one says, blessed are the meek. What does meek mean? Yeah, do you know what that word means? Gentle. We're going to say it means gentle, okay? For they will inherit the earth. And then this last one we have, blessed are those who mourn. What about mourn? What does that word mean? Sad, that's right. For they will be comforted. So what Jesus is trying to say is that happiness is not a feeling that is brought about the things that happen to us, but it's an attitude that we have because of what's in our heart. And so Jesus tells us that we can be happy even when things don't go our way on this earth, because one day we won't be here anymore. We'll be with him in heaven. And so it won't matter what happens here, because we're blessed people, because we're Christian people. So can we remember that this week? If something doesn't quite go your way and maybe you're sad about something, know that Jesus loves you and is comforting you. Even if on this earth you may not be happy, one day you will be. Can we remember that? Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear God, I thank you so much for these children that are up here this morning. God, for their lives and for what they mean to us and to this congregation. God, I hope that you would help us to remember that even when we're sad on this earth, that we can be happy because we know that as Christians, we don't have to stay here forever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hymn number 251, Of the Father's Love Begotten. Let's stand as we sing.
Oh. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 through 22. Keep away from every kind of evil. Instead, test everything. Hold on to what is good. Don't despise what God has revealed. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Whatever happens, give thanks, because it is God's will in Christ Jesus that you do this. Always be joyful. Make sure that no one ever pays back one wrong with another wrong. Instead, always try to do what is good for each other and everyone else. We encourage you, brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not living right, cheer up those who are discouraged, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Never stop praying.
Thank you, Lydia.
Open your bulletins to our prayer concerns, and I'd like to add a couple of names. One is Dalton Dixon. That's a five-year-old that suffered a stroke. We want to be remembering him in our prayers, and also a gentleman having some difficulty breathing. His name is Eric Burnt. We want to keep him. These are folks Terry Pope brought to my attention, and please add them to your prayer list there. Miss Linda Lambert will be having surgery tomorrow. We want to be remembering her. She'll be at the Rex Heart Center. That surgery is scheduled to begin at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. So please keep her lifted up in your prayers tomorrow. And also, Jesse Walker will be having surgery this coming Wednesday, hopefully to get some relief for a pinched sciatic nerve. And we are hoping that can bring him some relief. You'll also notice the name of the Kelsey Van family. As Taylor mentioned, we did have the service here yesterday for Kelsey, and we want to be remembering that family in our prayers in a very special way. You'll see other names of folks that we're praying for regularly on our prayer list, and I know you'll take this list and be a good steward with it this week, and then also add names that you know as well. Would you pray with me? Did you say something, God? We're listening. Wonder what we need to hear today. God, as we pause in your presence, we are mindful that we live in bodies made of clay. And this prayer list is wonderful evidence of that reality. But certainly while we're here, we want you to speak to our spirit, Lord, that part of us that shall live forever. That part of us created in your image, O God. That part of us that will affect how we manipulate the clay in which we live. We're here, God. Will you say something? Would you please say something? And let us hear with our spirit. Let us understand that when we hear from you, you change us. And Lord, there are areas we need your change. We know you are our King, and we know you're here, but we know one day you're coming. And as our choir sings an anthem that will remind us of that reality, would you speak to us even now of what we do in preparation for that day? what we do today for that day. For who knows? Maybe today is the day. In Jesus' name, we worship, we gather, we pray, we praise. In your name, O Lord our God. Definitely coming. Today we're going to begin a long series on the longest single passage of teaching that Jesus gives us in the entire Bible. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's found in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. And in it we have the core teachings, the ethical teachings, the moral teachings, and yes, the theological teachings of our Lord and Savior. If you go to Mark and to Luke, you'll find them dispersed in other places. There's a sermon called the Sermon on the Plains in the Gospel of Luke. And instead of 9 Beatitudes, he gives 4 Beatitudes and 4 woes in that sermon. But in this passage, as we're going to unpack it for a few months now, we're going to find some tremendous teaching. Now, I need to begin by reminding us that we will not of these 9 Beatitudes with verses 11 and 12 really kind of being an explanation of the ninth one. I want you to understand that you don't get to pick and choose. You don't get to be either poor in spirit or meek. You have to be them all. In fact, this is the job description for being a believer. The Beatitudes are statements that will be made with a condition. If we're this way, then a result, what will happen. And in them, we're going to read them all over and over again for these first few weeks as we go through the Beatitudes. We find our way. The first one we're going to be looking at is poor in spirit. And at first that seems like a tremendous negative. But I suggest not. In fact, it is first because Jesus knew it was the first thing we needed to do. It's probably something every one of us here today needs to do. Probably some area in our spirit that we need to adjust and to be emptied out that God may fill us up. So today, as we begin our text, we're going to read in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read through verses 1 through 12. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of the Beatitudes. I begin in verse 1 of chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. Therefore, the Sermon on the Mount. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, those that had gathered, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The persecuted and the poor in spirit, the same gift. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Jesus was being prophetic there. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, teach us what it means today to be blessed, to be happy, to be in your presence, to be filled by you, that we may walk daily with you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our text is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to tell you something right to start with. It's going to scare you to death. I have already cut 9 pages out of this sermon. This has been a verse that you might think, what in the world can a preacher do with that? What can he do with that? I know you're wondering how many pages are left, amen? Well, let's see. Today, as we look at what scholars believe is the greatest teachings of our Lord and Savior, where you probably know more chunks of verses than any other place of his teachings. You know about being the salt of the earth, and you know about turning the other cheek, and you know about all those blessed places. You may remember a song a few years ago. You guys won't remember because it was before you. I don't think, have y'all ever heard, "Don't Worry, Be Happy"? Wow. I'm impressed. That's good. Because I understand that's all the lyrics in the whole song, right? Don't worry, be happy. And it goes on, I won't do that. Anyway, it just keeps going forever, right? Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. So let me just say, don't worry, be happy, and let's leave. I thought somebody would say amen right there, but you didn't, and I'm glad you didn't. Because that's easy maybe to sing that song, but don't worry. Have you heard the news? Have you seen what's going on in the world? Don't worry. Be happy. We all want to be happy, don't we? We want that joy. In fact, that word can be translated happy. Some translations do it. It can also be translated be made straight. Straight is the way of the one who is poor in spirit. But I want to tell you, God will redefine for us today what it means to be fulfilled, to be joyful, to be living in peace, and to be happy. He'll tell us plainly how to do it. But it's up to us. It's up to us. If one were to prescribe to you all the things to do to go from here to a certain location, and you chose only to do a few of those turns, only to take the ones that were most convenient, you might not get where you wanted to be. And so it is. Choices we have to make, you and I. Choices. Choices if we're going to follow God's prescription to this don't worry, be happy or not. Because I'm going to tell you, this very first one, this very first beatitude, it flies in the face of what our culture says. And you absolutely will either do one of two things, what God says or what the culture says. But you can't do both. You can't do both. And so our question for us today is, are we ready to not worry and to be happy? Jesus is going to lay it out in our Sermon on the Mount over these next few weeks and months. I hope you'll read it every day between now and then. I remember when I was 12 years old and we lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee. My daddy was the pastor there. And there was a lady that lived in front of us, Miss Boyd. And I would go over and see Miss Boyd. And on more than one occasion, I remember as a 12-year-old boy taking her old worn-out Bible and laying it in my lap and watching this dear lady, probably in her early 80s, losing her eyesight and her mobility, quote, all of Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. and following her along in her Bible as she had written the Sermon on the Mount on her heart and on her mind. Do you want to be happy? Add to your bucket list memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus started here intentionally. I love the way the Message reads our text today. The Message says, "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and His rule." With less of you, there's more of God. I bet there's somebody here today at the end of your rope. I bet there's somebody here today that life is not where it needs to be. And more than anything else, you'd like to leave today with a sense of joy and a sense of peace and a sense of happiness. Then let me just tell you what Jesus says. Blessed, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when I get to the end, I'll talk about, as I said before I introduced the choir special, the King is here and the King is coming. The kingdom of heaven is here and the kingdom of heaven is coming. When we understand that, it makes a difference. Today, the question for us is, who will we follow? You know, there's been something alive that's really robbed a lot of us of our joy. It's that old lie, and I can give it to you in a cliche, having your cake and eating it too. You know that cliche? You know that old worn-out statement? The biggest lie I think that Satan purports to you and to me is, you can be in this world and like this world, and you can have all the things this world has, and you can also be a firm believer and a fine follower of Christ. You can follow the ways of the world, and you can follow God's ways at the same time. No, you can't. No, you can't. I wish you could. I'd like to. There's something in us that, you know, when everybody's going that way, we want to go that way too. When everyone seems to say, oh, you don't know how great it is, we want to go have that greatness. But Jesus says, and He says it with words that must have pricked their ears as I think it pricks our ears. You want to be happy? Be poor in spirit. Be poor in spirit. Now, that doesn't mean be poor in your faith. That's not what it means at all. It simply means, if I could maybe define it in one sentence, it would be to understand that spiritually you have nothing to offer. That you're broke. That you're undone. That the only hope you have, that I have, the only hope that we have, it's what God can do for us and in us. The world says we can go a lot of different ways. The world says we can follow God and follow the world. And that lie has tripped up many a person. Having one foot in the world and one foot in glory is the intoxication of many a seeker of the Lord. And just like the opioid epidemic, the intoxication, the high soon turns to death. And just as the desire for the next high is killing people every day, and as I was writing those words, I couldn't help but think that more than likely, while we're sitting here worshiping, someone somewhere is shooting up for the last time. Someone is trying to find peace. They're trying to find a place where they won't have to worry and they can be happy. And they've either gotten bad drugs or too many drugs. And this week their family will bury them. They call it chasing the dragon. But the problem is sooner or later you catch the dragon. And just like a car chasing, a dog chasing a car. Sooner or later, that dog would catch that car. And that wheel that he was so trying to stop would do him in. Christians, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. If we think we can pursue our world with 99% of our thought and our time and our resources and our devotion and toss an occasional crumb to God and God be okay with that, it's not the God of this Bible. It's not the God of this Bible. He says he's a jealous God. He demands we love him with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. And then each other out of that love. Are you beginning to see where our struggle is? It's hard to be poor in spirit, isn't it? It's hard to be poor in spirit. Because the world is so intoxicating. It is so challenging. He says, happy is the man who's poor in the ways of the world, for he'll see what heaven is all about. Can I ask us a question right now? Is America happy right now? Is our nation happy? Probably most of us here, if not all of us here, whether you are a news watcher or not, you understand what's happening, don't you? Suddenly the racial divide is growing and anger is growing and sides are being chosen and some are marching for hatred and some are marching against hatred, and it seems to me like there's hatred everywhere. The Cold War seems to be heating back up to a boiling point. And even again, as I was doing this sermon, the second thought came to my mind while we're sitting here in this moment. And you're hearing what God would say about being poor in spirit. Someone's plotting. Someone's planning. Someone's probably working on a bomb. Someone's probably figuring out how to create chaos and harm and terror. Are we happy? Is all our new enlightenment and all our new technology and all the new things that should make us so blessed, are they blessing us? I think not. In 1864, one of the greatest poets, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he wrote a poem that would later become a carol that you know. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. By the way, I thought when I got to this point, this would be a side note. This is free and not on the notes, okay? You ever sighed, boy, we did Christmas last year, and next year we're going to do Christmas different? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever say, oh, well, this year we did this and that, and it kind of got in the way of our Christmas celebration? You ever think those thoughts? I'm the only one that ever thought those thoughts about. Maybe we ought to adjust some things. Now's the time. Now's the time to make those adjustments. That's free. I just threw that in for what it's worth. Back to Henry. I was reading a person that was writing about this, and I didn't know these other verses existed that aren't in our hymn book. But the person that writing, when I was reading, wrote these words. He said, when I first heard this song, I wondered, why does he suddenly shift from joy at hearing the Christmas bells into such deep despair? It starts off with, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But then two verses later it says, and in despair I bowed my head. Folks, what I'm about to read could have been written about last week. In this past month. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The question is clear when we'll see two other verses that aren't included in the hymn, and maybe why. Because in that, Longfellow speaks of the horrors of the American Civil War that was tearing our country apart, even as now that same kind of strife is attacking us again. In fact, his son had been seriously wounded in a conflict not long before he wrote the song. And these are two verses that aren't in the hymn book. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south. And with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of our continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Brothers and sisters, if I could just say it plainly as I know how, if we follow the ways of the world, there'll be no peace on earth. If we follow the ways of man's hearts and man's minds, it will lead us right back to death and to destruction. I love the way that carol ends, though, and I can't leave us without reminding us, for this moment, Wadsworth will live out for us what it means to be poor in spirit. Because in the next to last verse, he says, God is not dead, nor does he sleep. Through the Savior who we proclaim the birth of our Lord and Savior, he will accomplish all that he's promised. Listen, the king is coming. The king is coming. Nothing's going to happen on this earth that's going to stop God's plan from being fulfilled. Blessed is the poor in spirit. How can that be? How can that be what we need? Because when one is poor in spirit, I want you to listen to a list I'm fixing to give you. We'll learn that less is more. I told y'all last December, the Lord was impressing on my heart, less is more. And I keep praying about that every day. What does that mean, Lord? Less is more. How can less be more? Because we live in a society that says more is more. Not less, more. But what I discovered is that the less of me, the more of God. The less of my control, the more of God's control. Would we answer honestly the question, most of our day, who controls our life? Who controls our thoughts and our agenda? Have we found a way to connect so to God that we keep him ever on our mind? Or do we say there are periods, sometimes hours, sometimes days, and if we're really honest, maybe even sometimes weeks, don't give God that control. Less is more. To be poor in spirit, to be less of this world, is to be more of worship. You see, worship isn't just an exercise. It's a moment in time to tie our rope to God's anchor, to come into his presence and to allow his spirit to speak to us clearly, sometimes to challenge us, always to remind us of his love and to praise his name. Because when we get our praise on, God goes home with us. When we get our praise on, God goes home with us. And you know what I found? That if God doesn't go home with us, this does us no good. Oh, I hate to admit that. But it's true. You see, religion is a problem. If you've studied religion, you know religion is a problem. You go back to the Crusades, and the Christians were the terrorists, and we were causing problems. And today we live in a time when the Muslim faith and the radical Islamic terrorists in the name of religion, they're a problem. religion's a problem. If you're living today by religion, you're a miserable person. Someone said, I got just enough religion to make me miserable. And that's true. If you've got just enough to know that God really is there, God really does have a plan, God really is in control, and you know, we know we're living outside God's will, we've got to walk out of this place with a little bit of extra weight on our shoulders, a little more concern in our heart. We're not quite as satisfied as maybe we want to be. I don't want to have religion, do you? I don't care a thing about religion. I want to have a relationship with Almighty God. That's why Christ came. That's why the incarnation, Him coming and walking among us, He opened the door to heaven and said, if you'll walk this way, you can enter in. Not to a religion, but to a faith. More worship. Worship is evidence of our faith. There'll be less of our problem focus and more of our prayer focusing on God. Can I ask us a question this morning? Are most of our prayers just about what we need? I sometimes think we might model that incorrectly. We should have a prayer for the people. We should pray for one another. Please don't ever think I think we shouldn't. But if all our prayer is to ask God for something, God, help me out of this situation. God, bless me in this circumstance. God, so-and-so's sick and they need your help. God, there's a problem over here and I need you to help me deal with it. And the rest of the time, we're saying, I'll take care of all the rest of it, God. We're not where God wants us to be. There'll be less sinning and more serving. There'll be less stuff and more stewardship. There'll be less asking in prayer and more relational prayer. There'll be less of me and more of others if I become poor in spirit. It is precisely when we understand our nothingness that we can receive God's abundance. Let me say that again. It is precisely when we can see our nothingness that we can receive God's abundance. Because we've got to decide, you and I, are we going to walk out of here saying, well, I have come and I put my list before God, and I said, God, you check off a few things, and I'm going to go out here and do the rest. Or have we come here today, and we've said, God, I want to empty myself of everything except you. And I want you to fill me, and let me leave this place with you overflowing in my life. Which did we come? The fullness that we desire and need more than anything else is echoed in the Psalms. That first Psalm, you remember how it begins? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the ways of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And listen to this part. And in his law he meditates day and night. Fill our life up with what God wants us to do. Do we understand our condition? Isaiah gives us a glimpse in Isaiah chapter 6. You remember when he saw that great vision of God in the year that King Uzziah died? And the angel comes, and as he sees that great theophany, that great vision of God, and his countenance is filling the temple, and the seraphim are there, and they take a coal and they touch his lips. You remember what Isaiah said? He became poor in spirit. You remember what he said? He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in a land of people of unclean lips. Poor in spirit. Do you remember in Luke chapter 15 the story Jesus told about the prodigal son? Who in his pride said, give me half of what I deserve. He didn't deserve anything, did he? It was his daddy's in that story. but he takes his inheritance. He takes what God has given him. He takes all the blessings of his father, and he squanders them. Does it sound like anybody you know? Sometimes it sounds like a mirror when I read that, all that God has blessed me with, and how I sometimes shake my fist in God's face. But Jesus was a storyteller, wasn't he? You remember how he tells that story? Remember he's speaking to Jews who consider the swine to be unclean, not even to get in the very presence. You don't even want the shadow of a swine to fall on you. And you remember where the prodigal son was when he became poor in spirit. He was feeding the hogs, and he was eating the trash that the hogs were eating. And you remember what he said? You remember his words, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against earth, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants." Powerful words. Do you remember in Luke chapter 23, when a man had squandered his life, and now he hung beside the Savior of the world? We know him as the thief on the cross. And he rebuked the other who was mocking Christ. And he said, "Remember me when you come into your paradise." The opposite's true in Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira. You remember that story, that they had decided to pool all their resources, and it was a free will gift. You could give if you wanted. When you read it in Acts chapter 5, Peter says, "You could have kept it all. It was yours. It was under your control. You could have done anything you wanted to with it. But what you can't do, what is wrong to do, is to say you give all yourself to God and to not do it. That's wrong. That's wrong to say, 'I give everything.'" And you remember, go read Acts chapter 5. They said, "Is this all of it?" And Ananias says, "Yeah, that's all of it." Sometimes when I sing, "All to thee, my Lord and Savior," I think of Ananias and Sapphira. And I wonder, Lord, do we realize our condition? Someone jokingly said, "If I could buy you for what you're worth and sell you for what you think you're worth, I'd make a fortune." And I see it a little differently. If I could buy my walk with God for what I think it's worth and sell it for what it's really worth, I'd make a fortune. I love a story of a museum in Bonn, Germany. There's a museum there to Beethoven. You remember him, right? And a young American student became fascinated by the piano on which Beethoven had composed some of his greatest works. It was there in the museum. And she asked the museum guard if she could play a few bars on that piano. She accompanied the request with a lavish tip. I think that might be how it works. And the guard agreed. The girl went to the piano and she tinkled out the opening of the Moonlight Sonata. And as she was leaving, she spoke to the guard and she said, "I suppose all the great pianists who come want to play on that piano, don't they?" And the guard shook his head no. He said, "Paderewski, the famed Polish pianist, he was here a few years ago, and he said he wasn't worthy to touch that piano." You see, poor in spirit changes how we see everything, doesn't it? Today, Jesus knows that we will fill our lives with something. In this first beatitude, he says, "Become empty and let me fill you up." with what you really want. D.L. Moody once said, "I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we're full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled." The concluding circumstance is the kingdom of heaven. I know that in just a moment we're about to walk out this door. I don't know what we're going to read tomorrow in the headlines. I don't know what's going to happen worldwide. If you had told me last Sunday when I stood behind this sacred desk that I'd be standing here yesterday at 2 o'clock sharing in the funeral of a 24-year-old girl who was murdered in Sanford, I wouldn't have thought so. And yet I hear the words of Christ. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." You know what? We need to empty some stuff, you and I. Right here, right now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not when we get around to it. Right now. There are some things in our heart and in our life that we need to empty. We need to pour them out. It's going to be hard to pour them out. But we need to do that, that God's Spirit might pour inside us. Because we've got to decide. When you get to the end of the driveway, and I'm guessing everybody except maybe a golf cart or two is going to go that way, there's one thing you can't do. You can't go right and left at the same time. You just can't do it. You can go right, you're right. You can go left, but you can't go both at the same time. Poor in spirit. You know what Satan's saying? "Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah, I know you feel that spirit moving, but that's okay. Just it's fine. Leave it alone. Be all right. It'll pass. It'll pass, and it will." Sometimes Satan's greatest lie is a little truth. And families, you can't be in the same car and go to the end of the road and half of you in the same car go right and half of you go left. You just can't do it. And if you could, you'd tear your car, your family, all to pieces. My question is, when we get to the end of the road of this sermon, which way are you going? You going with the world? Most of us are. Most of us are. Most of us are. It's the way we've always gone. It's the only way we really feel safe. We know that way. Most of us are. But are you? Because at the end of this sermon, you got to decide. Go with the world. Or go with God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pray with me. God, some things need to be poured out right now. There are some things in this world that have us by the throat and we don't even realize it because they're stroking the back of our head while they're choking the life out of us. But right now we can say, "Get behind me, Satan. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Today we can decide. Today we can choose. Today we can make a decision to no longer turn at the end of the road to the world, but to turn and go with you. But Lord, I feel your spirit in this place in such a unique way right now. I just pray your spirit wash over us. And that we would just be honest with you. And Lord, maybe we would pray a prayer that says this: God, I want to be happy. I want to be blessed. There's some things in my life that I've held on to because I thought they were riches. But they've been making me poor in a wrong kind of way. Lord, I know I need to depend on you, that when I become nothing, you can give me your abundance. You know the need of every heart, the need of every life. You know the decision that every one of us need to make right now in your holy, holy presence. May we make the decision you'd have us make. Though none go with me, still I will follow. May that be our prayer. In the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of decision, our hymn of opportunity is page 241. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart, and I believe God is, I believe decisions should be made today. For our Almighty God, decisions that will change our home, will change our heart, will change our head, and change our way. It's time to decide. We're at the end of the road. It's time to choose as we stand together and sing. Would you be seated for just a moment? John, Stacy, Taylor, come here. Where's Cash? He's in the nursery. Okay. Well, I love Grunny. That's good. I don't know how long y'all been coming. A long time. 2.5 years. So we had conversation with Stacy, and the Lord has been impressing upon them. They've been very faithful to be here. And God has impressed upon them over the last few weeks Maybe cash had a little something to do with that. I don't know. But they need to be a part of our church family. And sometimes moving your membership from your lifetime church home, that's a hard thing to do. And I respect that, and I appreciate that. So from Christian Harbor and Macon Baptist Church, they come upon receipt of letter requesting membership in our church. Do I hear a motion that we receive them into our fellowship? I hear motions and second. All of you who would join me in welcoming them to our congregation, would you indicate that by saying amen?
Amen.
And Taylor always finds me to shake hands. I love Taylor, and so I'm always excited. I'm going to ask you, if you will, for a little while anyway, to stand with me at the door. I know you'll want to come by and express to this family your welcome, and also to add them to your prayer concerns. When you see them or hear their names, that you will lift them up as we walk together as brothers and sisters. I hope you do that every time you're riding down the road. And don't close your eyes when you're riding down the road, especially if you're driving. But if you meet a neighbor, you meet a member of our church family, I hope you'll just pray for them. I hope we'll allow the Spirit of God to permeate us like that. That's a good way. It's been a good day. A lot going on this afternoon. If you want to get here for the back-to-school bash and hot dogs at 5 o'clock, starts at 3, I think, and we're looking forward to that. Let's stand together. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people poor in spirit, that He may fill us up every day, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, we rejoice today because You have brought a new family officially to be a part of our family. Although we've loved them for a long time, we're excited about the walk together and how that opens doors for them in different ways to serve and to worship with us. And we're excited about that. And I pray Your blessing upon the Rooker family in a very special way. And all the families of Flat Springs Baptist Church, that we might be blessed people, not to worry, but to be happy as we allow You to fill us up. In Christ's name we pray.